1995. His latest works have appeared in the Antigonish Review, Aesthetica, The Broken Spine. His first full-length work, Through Dissembled Houses of Perfect Stones, will be released by At Bay Press on April 13th, 2022. When he's not teaching, writing, or drawing, David usually shovels snow, cuts wood, and chases his dogs along the historic Nelson River. For 2021 to 22, he is on sabbatical, living in St. Boniface with an overindulged kitten, teaching part-time, working on a new collection of poetry, and snowshoeing through Whittier Park. Welcome here, David.
Thank you, Angeline. Thank you. I see applause. I don't hear it, but I don't need to. So thank you all for coming. I'm looking through some of the faces here, and I'm thrilled to see a couple of people from my past. I see my old black hole buddy, Paul, Christian from my high school. Probably the most important people that are attending this evening are Robin and Elizabeth, but they have, oh, they're turning on. There we go. Now I can see you. Hey, Bobbin. So she usually has blue hair, but she doesn't have blue hair tonight. So. Anyway, I'm so pleased to be the featured reader. This is what I'm celebrating. So this is the collection, Through Disassembled Houses of Perfect Stones, released by At Bay Press. In addition to being the featured reader tonight, we will be doing a launch next week, as Angeline said, on the 13th. It's a hybrid, so those of you who can make it face-to-face at McNally Robinson, you're more than welcome to. But if you're unable to attend that, it's also being offered online, I believe, through Zoom and YouTube. So there's an opportunity for those of you who are not immediately in the city to attend from wherever you are. So I'm thrilled to be the featured reader. I'm going to just jump right into the poems from here. This collection goes back quite a ways. And what I hoped to do when I was putting this together was to thread my interpretations of landscape, ancestry, and identity together in the poem, so that each of the poems represents in some way a stone. And the stone is a tangible connection to either a person or a place or a memory. And so each of the poems in here sort of contributes to, I guess, a general theme of the connection between identity and place and identity and people. So I'm going to start with a poem that situates itself in northern Manitoba. Right now in April, most of the winter roads are in the process of being closed or shutting down. I don't know if the ferry crossing into Norway House is open yet, but for about 7 months of the year, we travel by winter road or ice bridge into the community. And this poem is more about living in the north, not specifically about Norway House, but this is called Winter Road. April reminds us the river is not made of stone. She is more than winter roads to bring the outside in. February yawns through March, shutters tomorrow, melt, sink. The highway dissolves, the inside left out. Old ice drifts, freed into another season, young water coaxing us to roam. Longing unmapped journeys to stretch through boreal branches, ancestor breezes sing, stories the land collected before others called them history. Under dancing green shimmers, glistened ripples tap the old skin of night. On shores, lakes with empty names. Spring in shallow breaths, a season of change, a season of same. The inside out, the river free, April reminds us. So I didn't talk to Liz or Robin, but I promised myself I wasn't going to read poetry that was going to make either one of them cry, because that's what they do when they hear my poetry. So I wanted to start, though, with a poem in honor of my mother. My mother passed away in 2006, and the Yerricks in my name was her maiden name. So that's an homage to her. She was a big supporter of my my writing and my art when I was just a wee lad attempting to make a voice for myself. So this is a poem that I wrote to kind of make sense of where I was at with her passing. This is called Learning My Own Body. Somewhere between these words lies my mother's faith, a benign lump nestled in an obscure fold of flesh, undetonated. She wouldn't have liked that. That air of the sinister that can never work its way out of this version of the poem yet. I am an anatomy of others, inhabited in some parts by my mother's rustic order, her particular way nothing held a specific place, even in verse. Leaves unraked, another duty missed, abandoned to November's meager snow, on my mother's last morning, I drive too late past her childhood church, her moment passed. My mother refused to be an actor in her own death. But I, this smoothing rough edge is a kind of devotion, I recorded as it resides in me. A specter lingering in the vacated cavity, heart's empty chambers, carelessly fingers lines in the dust, reminding me of the slow neglect of faith, of flesh, of memory. I am slowly learning to pearl, my mother's marrow mapped beneath my bones. And I see the applause, and thank you for that. So I grew up in a series of small towns across southern Manitoba, and sometimes you don't get to choose how you connect to different people. Sometimes it's organic. Sometimes it's just being in a town where everybody knows everyone and everybody is sort of interconnected in their own ways. But this is a poem that kind of takes a look at those incidental meetings or connections that we have with people. This is called 4 Miles Outside the Town Limits. She's flooded. My uncle's 67 Plymouth Fury. 318, three in the tree, charcoal gray. Smells of old sail. 10W30, English leather. Time spent. Smoke dust. A Stan Rogers phrase rusting in the glove box. We'll get her going in a jiff. Neighbors in the fall, he knew the uncle, my dad, their dad, and the dad before. Drives blue Chev truck after blue Chev truck. Eats chocolate-covered revels at fairground ball games. Stands stone silent back in the United Church. 318's a good engine. 340, 360, 383, 400, 440. Dodge made a bunch. They'll all get you there fast enough. The 318's lasted. I hold the air breather cover as gray-brown fingers spin, hands me the wingnut, places the cover on the bent shoulder by the ditch where his grandson rolled that Buick Skyhawk graduation night. Gonna stick my finger down her throat, open her up a bit. Hold down the clutch and turn her over. Don't give her no gas, though. Giving her no gas, I feel the rise and rumble. She starts. Clutch released, he screws on the air breather. Cover. Grins, shakes my hand, calls me my uncle's name, the same name as his grandson. I'll follow you back to town, just to be sure. So as we're reaching the endemic phase of COVID, I'm reflecting back on I guess the process of isolation and connection through isolation. So this is a poem. This is actually one of the most recent ones in here. Some of these date back a few years, but this is one of the most recent ones. And this is not really a I guess in poetry, we mix the fiction with the reality. And I wouldn't say this is an actual story, but that doesn't make it not true. And this is called Voice. My father turned 90 in January, so this is kind of a reflection on the whole process of connecting with people through distance. It's called Voice. The thin wire of my father's voice stretches the morning out like a local paper. He catalogs the recently dead, gives the crop report, relates the freedom of a new hip, new corridors, old neighbors, even as the restrictions keep him contained. Memory bends each morning the same comfortable new place. We drink coffee in different rooms, trading names, old neighbors, catalog the newly born. It is the small hours to which we return best. Your mother loved the smell of autumn burning. Do you remember the name of that old spaniel? I listen to the same stories differently, an old voice at the other end of his life. So I moved a fair amount as a child. My father was a grain buyer. My mother was a teacher. So we moved to two or three small towns in southern Manitoba. Our home, though, was where the family farm was. But that concept of moving from landscape to landscape and landscape to landscape and trying to keep a sense of personal history is a big part of this collection of poems, and some of the I reference stones a lot in there, and I usually carry a stone with me when I'm in the process of writing. This particular stone comes from Rossburn, which is where our farm is. But this is called Mapping. Cartography, a bad joke. Topography below lines. River and lake are not distinct bodies. There is light and dark, water, sky, and land, pastures and wood, presence and void. History, a chorus of tales, visits who we have been under so many coats, skies, words, taking up spaces, printing in the earth we planted. House empty, we leave nothing, next to nothing. Take roads, long, straight, narrow, marked with purpose, void of distraction, save the ridge of forest against expansive blue ancient grays, striking greens, playful purples, peals of a raven pressing against a wind that sounds as though nothing left. I'm going to read a really short poem, and this is sort of, I guess, a nod to my father-in-law, Robins Musu, who was a commercial fisherman for 50 years, which is a lifestyle I know absolutely nothing about. My grandfather was a farmer for well over 40 years. I know a little bit about that lifestyle, but this is kind of a, I guess, sort of Ezra Pound meets Tom Thompson. It's a very short images poem that I want to see if I can convey in a relatively short way. Shelved between a red rose tea box of lead net weights and an E.D. Smith jam jar with four worn sewing awls, a china blue teacup, four black bear teeth yellowing in the bottom, your fish shack, a library I cannot read. How far am I gone? I've got one more to do. This is the title poem for the collection. This is my book, by the way. This is my book. I get to say that a lot. This is my book. My first literary press, so it's a little bit of a big deal to me. This is my book. The book is titled Through Disassembled Houses of Perfect Stones, and this is the title poem. It's also the last poem in the collection. Remain one place long enough, the past may leave for another more suited to memoir, a song to follow. Drawn from earth surrendered, old mornings creep up, trunks of ashes. Shiver young hours out the veins of leaves, settle, waiting to fasten to new stories. It was harvest when you first left home. Seasons collect, telling nothing. Faded ghost, follow that old settler road off the Yellowhead to an almost town where once a quilted history lived behind shattered windows, a tourist in its family album. Toothless, grandfather's house cries for her scatterlings, a season out of step. Years eat the memory out of history. Shifting seeds drift. Scrub trees take back ground lost, land which now forgets how to yield. Seasons collect, telling nothing. Wildflowers thinly dusted, fallow under hushed breezes. Quilted years, strips of lives straying through ribbons of indigo, mingled in old letter words, shared each voice, holding place, making there, here. The weight of history lies on the spine of memory. All history is translated. And I thank you for your patience, and I thank you for your attention, and I thank you for the kind words in the comments.
Oh, that was lovely.
Thank you.
There's so much, you mentioned time or history in almost every poem.
Yeah.
Is there a story to the cover?
So the cover itself, Matt Jodry, who's the publisher for At Bay, he and I went back and forth on a few different images. So it wields together so some of the poems are about living in the north and snowshoeing. And the way that nature kind of manages to survive in some of the harshest climates. So it kind of takes a bit of that in its sort of in its presentation. There's four little tiny seedlings that are trying to survive in this deep snow, and they represent, I guess, the key people that are written about here. So my mother, my father-in-law, who have both passed on to the spirit world, and then of course my daughter and Liz. So, and somewhere in between there is sort of wedded my own experiences and my own history.
Wow, it's very vivid. Wonderful. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you everyone for your attention. I appreciate it.